Tell them our God is greater. Amen. And you can be seated. I wish the New Orleans Saints were singing that yesterday. Apparently Vernon Davis can stop them. I tell you what, I had to walk in love with Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator for the Saints. I mean, of all the people we're going to allow to be wide open, Vernon Davis, play after play. But anyway, we walk in love. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you what, football's fun. Amen. But how many of you know church is funner? Amen. So we're glad to have you here today, and we believe God's got something great in store for you. Open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible and you like one, you can lift up your hand. Our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now ready to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. Amen. That Bible is yours to keep. And we mean that. If you don't have a Bible at all, now you do. That one is yours to keep. I want to make mention of something. You know, we don't do announcements in our service anymore to keep the streamline of service going. We try to exhort and encourage you to look at your bulletins. But even with the bulletins, we've got so much going on that sometimes we can't fit everything in. And one of the things that's coming up in February that I'd love to see you guys at, I'll be at, is Married Life Fellowship. Now, we have Married Life on Sunday mornings that is teaching orientated, as well as, fellowship orientated, that meets every Sunday. But then we still have Married Life events where you can come out, and it's just pure fun. And so for this event in February, I forget the exact date, but it is a chili cook-off. So I think you can make chili and enter it in to compete. And then there'll be chili there for everyone to eat. And I heard, if you don't like chili, no worries, there's going to be baked potatoes there too. So I guess they've thought of everything. But I want to encourage you, come on out and fellowship. You know, here at Word of Life, we really desire for you to do three things. We want you to hear life, which means you come to church, you participate in our version of Sunday school, our life groups if you want to, you're coming to the men's power up and all those different types of things that we have available. We want you to hear life, but then we also want you to share life. And share life means that you're getting to know your fellow believers. Friend, it's much easier to live for God and to even live by faith if you've got some faith friends. If you've got some friends who are living for God and some friends who are making sure that they please God in their actions. And so these events like this, Married Life Fellowship, it's a wonderful opportunity to meet people and to make strong connections. And then lastly, number three, we want you to give life. And give life simply means you're living life for more than just yourself, that you're volunteering, that you're helping out with Poindexter, all of those wonderful things. And so we desire for you to do those three things. Everyone say, hear life, share life, give life. If you do those three things, then you are living the life, and that is Word of Life's motto. Matthew chapter 17, let's look here in verse 20, talking about the subject of faith. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. Let me stop right here, and if you can on the screens, put up Luke chapter 17, verse 5. Luke chapter 17, verse 5, we're going to read through verse 6 up there on the screens. Luke 17, verse 5, we're in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it will remove, and nothing will be impossible unto you. Now, who is speaking here? Jesus. Isn't that right? If you've got a good Bible, it's in red. Jesus is talking here. How many of you think Jesus meant what he said? I believe he did. And Jesus is saying here that for a certain type of person, nothing is impossible to them. He said there are going to be some people in this life whom nothing is impossible. And for that person, for that group of people who nothing is impossible with or for, it is the group of people who have faith the size of a mustard seed, but who use that faith by speaking. The charismatic term, if you will, would be who release their faith through speaking. Faith is designed by God to be released. And Jesus said that if you release your faith by speaking into the mountains in your life, and if you understand that principle, that faith is released through speaking, that nothing would be impossible to you. Like we said last week, here you see Jesus was not trying to exhort them to operate on a level of faith that they were not at. He didn't say, guys, you know, what you need to do is attend a four-part seminar where four meetings a day for four straight weeks in order to have nothing be impossible to you. No, we said this last week. There's nothing wrong with trying to increase our faith. We all ought to be desiring to increase our faith. But what Jesus was saying here is even if you've just got itty bitty faith, I mean faith the size of a mustard seed. How many of you got your mustard seeds last week? Anyone look at those? He said if you had faith as a grain of that little bitty seed and you used it, nothing would be impossible to you. Here we see in Luke chapter 5 and Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, the disciples came unto the Lord and said, Lord, increase our faith. They looked at each other and said, you know what, guys, what we need is more faith. I mean, if we've got more faith, we can do some of these things that Jesus does. And so they come to Jesus and say, Lord, you need to increase our faith. If you increase our faith, then we can go and start doing these things. And watch what Jesus says unto them in verse 6. He says, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, here's the second time Jesus is emphasizing this point. They're coming to him and saying, you know what we need? We need more faith. And Jesus is completely turning it around on them and saying, if you just have little faith, the size of a mustard seed, you might say, once again, we see he's linking little faith with the action of saying. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Once again, what Jesus is emphasizing here is it's not the size of your faith, it's what you're doing with the faith that you have. And so we exhorted you last week, begin releasing faith by speaking God's blessings over your life, by speaking God's word over your life. I want to ask you this, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much faith did you release this week? You don't have to, we got some answers, but honestly, how much faith did you release this week? Because Jesus is saying here, the reason why people are living on a level of life that is far less than what I've called them to live is because they are not using their faith. And if you go to this church, we teach faith. I mean, in every corner, we teach faith. The two subjects of faith and love are taught in this place. I mean, just all the time. But friends, it's a matter of we must have the personal discipline to use the faith that we have. And friend, a lot of times there's no sensation that comes with that. A lot of times you don't wake up and you start using your faith by speaking God's word over your life, by praying God's word. A lot of times you're wiping the sleep away from your eyes while you're doing it. It doesn't feel like it's some mountain moving power. But friend, I'm telling you, it is. If you get in faith and you stay in faith, you will reap the results of faith every single time. Say that with me. Say, if I get in faith and I stay in faith, I will reap the results of faith every single time. Every time. But the problem is people will get in faith. Oh, Sunday morning, faith as a mustard seed. Woo, got my mustard seeds. Woo, I'm excited. And then Tuesday rolls around. And people just forget. Friend, I want to encourage you. Jesus said, if you've got itty bitty faith, I mean just itty bitty faith, and you use the faith that you have, nothing will be impossible. Friend, I want to emphasize this to you over and over again. God, all throughout His Word, and His Word is His revealed will to us and for us, He talks about that the just will live by faith, will live by it. That literally, you and I every day are living a faith life, where we are in faith. And I want to encourage us to live that life. You know, we wake up, and if you're anything like me, you know, you're human, and you wake up, and there's so many things that pull and vie for your attention. I mean, so many things. The minute you wake up, there's so many things that pull and vie for your attention. And with that, all of these things, a lot of them are very good things, but they can all serve as a distraction to get us from, to stop us from living the life that we are called to live. God has called you to live by faith, to get in faith about things. Let me ask you another question. What's the thing, the last thing, that you honestly believe God for? I mean, that you could look at that thing in your life and say, I believe God for that. Maybe it was for a child being healed, or maybe it was for a sofa, or maybe it was for a new job, or maybe it was for an increase in some way, or a debt paid off, or maybe it was for a friendship or something. But what's the last thing you can look at in your life and say, you know what? I believe God for that. And then if you made a list of that, and then you made another list of what are the things that I did in my own strength? What are the things that I'm doing in my own strength? And made out a list of that. Which list would be bigger? And God's over here saying, whoa, have faith in me. Live by faith. That this is the victory that overcomes the whole world. Your faith. Live by faith. Use the faith that you have. I was thinking about this, and I was trying to find a way to explain it better. And I feel directed in my heart to talk about having faith for three different things. Three different things. Each one of these things is a little bit different. And you've got to know how to use your faith for these three things if you are going to live by faith. All of our life primarily consists of these three things. And the Bible talks about faith for each one of them. We'll look at these scriptures over the next couple of weeks. But the first thing I want to talk to you about living by faith for is, number one, the desires of your heart. How to have faith for what you desire. Number two, I want to talk to you about how to have faith for what you need. Now, a need, you've got to really separate the two. A need has to be believed for a little bit differently than a desire. A need generally has some type of timeline to it. It has a pressure behind it. A desire, it can get done at any time. A need, there's some type of pressure that's associated with it. And so you got to know that when I get in faith for a need, I'm going to be faced with some different things than when I get in faith for a desire. And then the last thing I want to talk to you about, and we can't do this all today, but like I said, over the next the couple of weeks, we'll talk about each one of these. The last thing is in faith for God's kingdom. In faith for the kingdom of God, praying big prayers. You as an individual, me as an individual, should be in faith, have faith in God for our desires. That when it comes to the desires of our heart, we are in faith for those things. We're not just saving's good. We're not just making out a list for our husband of what we want for our birthdays. No, that's good too. You can do that. It's not just putting extra effort into work to try to earn a raise or a bonus or increase sales. But you're having faith in God for your desires. God wants you to live by faith, and a part of your life is this area of desires. Secondly, when you're encountered with a need, where your children need to be well. Maybe they're facing some type of sickness or disease, or you're facing it and you need to overcome it, or you need a job. Maybe you just lost your job and you need one ASAP. Or maybe there's a bill on your kitchen counter that needs to be paid. God wants you not only laboring to try to do those things, and obviously there are some things that we need to do in our strength. You can't be in faith for a job and just sitting on a lazy boy drinking a Diet Coke and eating Doritos watching The Price is Right. No, you've got to have some corresponding action there. But God wants you in faith for that job too. He doesn't just want you going out and putting out a whole bunch of applications. Yeah, that's good, but you need to be in faith that God is bringing the right job to you. And then lastly, for the kingdom of God, living a life beyond our own life, breaking our religious bubble and seeing that there are people out there in need, and there are things out there that are big things that we need to be believing God for. Let's start off with this subject of desires. Now, faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, this is an important principle. You cannot exercise faith in God if you do not know His will. And so when it comes to this area of desires, you've got to know God's will concerning your desires. You've got to see God's will, and God's word is His will. You've got to see His word clearly and see that He really does want me to possess the desires of my heart. Now, we use this illustration. I'll use it again this morning. Say I came up here, and before I walked up, an usher gave me $100 bills. I mean, just $100 bills. And I have just a roll of 100s this morning. And I said to some people in this place, now I don't have the money. I don't have a roll. I'm not giving out 100. So, but if I said for some people in this place, for some, I'm going to give $100 to. Now, there are more than 100 people here, so that means there would be some people here who got the money and other people who didn't get the money, right? Because there are more than 100 people here just in this service. So could you, now don't answer because I know we'll have different responses. Could you exercise faith in me? Now, leave God out of the equation. Could you exercise faith in me that I would give you one of the 100s? The answer is no. You could come up to me and say, hey, I'm here for my 100. And I could say, well, no, I said for some. For some people I would give it to. I'm sorry, you're just not one of the some this morning. Come back next Sunday, we'll see. But this Sunday, for some will get it and some won't. You won't. Next. No, you couldn't exercise faith if you didn't know my will clearly. Now, if I got up here and I didn't have just a roll, but I had a briefcase. I mean, I had a briefcase of $100 bills. And it was far more $100 bills in there than there were people in this room. And I got up and said, look, this morning, whosoever wants a $100 bill at the end of service, I'll give you one. I mean, for whosoever. If you're in this room, whoever you are, you can have one of these $100 bills. Could you then exercise faith in me that I would give you one of the 100s? Sure. If you came up to me at the end of the service, you said, I'm here for my 100. And I said, well, you know, I don't know. You could say, no, but you said, you said whosoever was in this building could get a $100 bill. I'm in the building. I'm a whosoever. I qualify. Then you could exercise faith. Do you see why it's impossible to have faith if all you hear in God, if all you hear is, well, for some people, he's going to heal. And then, you know, and we prayed this time and you didn't get it, but, you know, come back next Sunday. We'll see, maybe. Do you see how religion, it wants to throw out terms like that? Maybe he won't, maybe he will. You just, with God, you just never know. What have I said to that about you? I said, you know, with Marco, you just never know. You never know what Marco's going to do. What if someone came? What if someone came up about me and said, you know, I tell you what, with Pastor Joel, he said he would do that. But you know, with Pastor Joel, you just never know. He said he'd be here on time, but you know, with Pastor Joel, you just never know. You see how people have pigeonholed God, and so with God, you just never know. Sometime he will, sometimes he won't. What scripture are we standing on when we make statements like that? I've actually had someone come up and say, well, the song says. Who cares about the song? Okay, we're not talking about the song here. What does God's word say? What does God say about your desires? Because people, when they think, well, you know, when you're faced with a need, then yeah, we could have faith in that. But, you know, faith for just desires, you know, does God really want you to have all that? Well, let's find out. Let's see what God says about it. Go over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I was thinking about this the other day. And as I was, this scripture just came up into my heart. And I'd never seen it quite like this. Quite like this. In Luke chapter 15, and we'll start out with verse 17. You know the story here. It's the story of the prodigal son. Here you got a kid who got his father's inheritance. Apparently it was a lot of money, enough for him to go out and live like a rock star, I guess people would say in today's terminology. And with that, he spent all of this money on riotous living and just blew all of his father's inheritance. And finally, he finds himself without any friends. All those friends that he had, they were there just for the money. He was in a place where no one would give him anything. No one would help him. So he took on the only job he could find, which was working in a pigsty. And in this pigsty, in verse 17, he has an awakening. And watch what he says here in verse 17. And when he came to himself, I love that statement. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Basically, his mind is working like this. Because of my sin, because of what I've done, I've sinned before my father. I've blown all of his money. He invested it in me, and I just wasted it on a life of sin. Because I've sinned before him, and I've sinned before God, I'm not worthy of any type of desire. In fact, I'm not even worthy enough to be called his son. So I know what I'll do. I'll go and just see if he'll give me a job. Because he said, I'm working this job and I don't have any food to put in my belly. And I'm eating what these pigs are eating. And he said, I know if I just go back into the father's house, basically what he's saying is, I know the father, he'll meet my needs. That I'm in this place now where I'm not having my needs met. But if I go back to the Father now, then, I'm not fit to be a son. But I know he'll at least take me on as an employee. And I know he pays his employees enough to meet their needs. That's what I'll do. I'll go back to him and just get my needs met. So you see where his faith in the Father is at? His faith in the Father is, the Father, he's good enough to me to meet my needs. I don't know if he's good enough to just completely forgive me and restore my sonship, but, I don't know if I'm worthy to be a son, but I can at least go back and be an employee. That's the way he's thinking. There's no way I could ever have the Father, treat me with all the blessings he treated with me before, but he'll at least meet my needs. And watch what happens here in verse 19. And in verse 19, he says, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Now, the father's drawn into him, and all the father cares about is his son is coming home. I mean, you read the rest of this. Even the elder brother, he's like, what in the world are we celebrating this life of sin for? Now, this son of yours, he didn't call him his brother. He said, this son of yours, he went out and spent all of this on harlots and riotous living. And here he's come home and you've made this big whoop-de-doo about him. And in the father's eyes, he wasn't thinking about the sin. What was the father thinking about? My son came home. He who was lost is now found. He came to me. My son came to me. And he runs out to meet him. And I mean, he's grabbing him. I mean, he's hugging him. He's kissing him. He's showing tremendous displays of affection. And what does the son do? He almost kind of backs off. He says, I'm not worthy of all this. Look, I didn't come here to be your son again. I came here to be an employee. And, I've sinned in your sight. I've sinned before heaven, and I'm not fit to be your son anymore. But the father, he doesn't even talk about that. Watch what he says here in verse 22. This is what got me. But the father said to his servants, bring forth, notice this phrase, the best. Bring forth the best robe. Here you've got the son saying, look, all I came here for was to get my needs met. That's it. Not fit to be your son. Just want to be an employee. I know even your employees get their basic needs met. That's what I'm here for. And the father, all he says is, he's come home. He's come to me. And he calls out to his employees, his other, hey, my son, he's come home. Bring out the best. He's thinking about the prodigal. All he's thinking about is, I just need my needs met. What's the father thinking about? The father's thinking about, I want my son to have the best. This prodigal's saying, my sin, someone like me, I could never expect to be restored back into the father's house. What's the father thinking about? My son, he's come home, not mindful of any of his sin. And he's saying, bring out the best. You can see here, you can keep reading. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf. Not just any calf. We want the fat calf, Bessie. Bring Bessie out. Kill her. And let us eat and be merry. God's not a vegetarian. And verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found, and they began to be merry. Why is Jesus telling this principle, telling this parable? Why is he doing that? He's given an illustration. What's the illustration about? It's about God's relationship with you. And all of this, God wants to meet our needs. And, you know, I don't know if God really wants to give us his best. And, you know, what's that born out of? It's born out of a sin consciousness. What did the prodigal say? He said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your son. He's thinking that his sin made him unworthy. And all the father's saying is, but you're my son. He's saying, but I sinned. The father comes back and says, but you're my son. I've sinned. I'm not worthy of having anything but my needs met. But you're my son. You deserve the best. So let's put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, get the best robe on him. Let's kill the fatted calf. Why? All he did was come to the father. That's all he did was come to the father. And the father said, I want to give you the best. Why is Jesus telling this? Because he's saying this is how my kingdom works. He's giving this parable as an example for your life. Why don't you deserve the best? Why don't you deserve the best? Now, with these types of messages, you know, a big critique of the faith movement is it got off course and made it to be where God was like Santa Claus and all he wanted to do was give his kids gifts. And I get that. I agree that in a lot of places and with a lot of things, a lot of selfishness has been ingrown in the hearts of people. And our religion is not all about us. It is about what God can do through us for other people, that we are strong to bear the burdens of the weak. And God does not want us selfish, and he does not want us ingrown. And I think what we're seeing even today in the body of Christ is places and ministries, if that's all that they're about, they're starting to dry up. They're starting to wither away. But for other ministries who are coming and preaching a balanced gospel, I tell you what, with the Bible, it's one of the hardest things to stay in the middle of the road because you see warnings on both sides. But friends, I want to encourage you that God does not want you selfish. God does not want you ingrown. God does not want you loving stuff and loving money. No. But friend, he does desire you to have the desires of your heart. And in God's eyes, when he looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner. He doesn't see someone who's lived a life of sin. He doesn't see someone who's unworthy. If you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you are not a sinner saved by grace anymore. You were a sinner and now you're saved by grace. But in God's eyes, you are his son. And when we go to God, we're not going to him saying, you know, I know I've messed up. And if you could just do this for me, I'll leave you alone. God said, whoa, the son has come home. Look at this. Joel's praying again. Joel's believing again. Joel's confessing again. Let's bring the best. He who is lost is now found. God cares about your desires. I'll prove it to you. Go over to John chapter 16. If that wasn't enough, and it shouldn't be enough. One scripture should not be enough for any belief. Go over to John chapter 16. Let's get some multiple scriptures on this. John chapter 16 and verse 23. On the screens, if you can pull up, Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4. We're going to John chapter 16, verse 23. I literally have four pages of notes. I am on the first paragraph of four pages. And that was just on message one. So John chapter 16, let's look here in verse 23. We're talking about having faith for our desires. God wants us to live by faith, a life of faith. Part of our life is we do desire things and we're to have faith for those desires. Well, how do we have faith for them? Well, first, we've got to solidify in our hearts that it's God's will for us to have them. John chapter 16 and verse 23. Once again, these are the words of Jesus. And watch what Jesus says in verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you will ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Do you see, once again, that's not just having a belief in God, but also releasing that belief through words? Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed and you just speak unto this mountain and tell it to be thou removed, it will obey you and nothing will be impossible to you. Luke, we read it earlier. They said, Lord, increase our faith. And he said, man, if you just had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou uprooted and upplanted, and it would obey you. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God, for verily whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You see, it's not just a matter of just having faith, but releasing faith. And Jesus here in verse 23 is saying the same thing. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you will ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Do you see the heart of God here? God knows that there are some things that if you ask for them, it would help your joy. It'd be a helper of your joy. And if all it did was make you smile, God's into it. If all it did was just improve your joy, no other part of your life, just helped your joy. He said, I want it full. I want your joy full. So if you have a need, if you have a desire, use your faith for it. Well, somebody said, why would he do that? Go down to verse 27. I love this. Verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you. Why does God care about my joy that Jesus would say, hey, ask whatever you want, whatsoever. I'll give it to you. Ask it in my name. That your joy may be full. Why would he care about my joy being full? Because he loves me. The Father himself, God, loves you. I'll tell this story in closing. Well, you can see this in another piece of evidence. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Does God care about your desires? Yeah, he does. Well, but all it would do is make my joy full. He cares about that. He loves you. He wants you having the best. This earlier part of last year, well, I guess it was kind of the later part of last year. It's my last story in closing. I was having a very religious type of day. Have you ever had one of those days before? I had just gone out to the Life Poindexter, and we just got our permit to start construction on it. And so, man, we're excited about what we're doing out there in the Poindexter Park community. But I'd just gone out there, and man, you walk around and you see the needs of all these people. Just the needs of all these people. And, you know, you come back and you get in your car and you see that the car that you're driving, it's a desire, you know. I mean, you don't need AC. You don't need leather seats. You don't need it. And you see all these people who are walking. It's like, God, you know. You want to be a blessing. Like I said, and we're going to talk about how to have faith for the kingdom of God. And I came back to work, came back to the office, went back home. And, you know, I was looking at all of this. And, you know, I just was saying to the Lord, I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be ingrown. And we should all have moments like that in life of humility and, you know, just reliance upon God, not being selfish and ingrown, but believing God for the success of others. And I went into, I've been collecting ever since I was a little boy, sports memorabilia. And every Christmas, my father would give me something. And I've collected even past that to where I've got, you know, a lot of cool sports memorabilia, old baseball cards, Mickey Mantles, Ted Williams, things like that. And I've got some nice stuff. Like I said, I've been collecting ever since I was a little kid. That's what always we get for Christmas. And I walked in there and I saw all of this. And, you know, you see these cards and see this memorabilia. It's just stuff and sports. And, yeah, it makes my joy full and I like looking at it and showing it off. But, you know, I said, God, you know, if you want me to, I will sell every bit of this stuff right now. I will sell it all and give it to whoever, give the proceeds to whoever needs it. Let me stop right here and say, do you know that that's what God is looking for? That he doesn't mind you having stuff. He minds it if it has you. And so with all of your stuff, you should be able to say that. But on this particular day, I meant it. And not only did I mean it, I was about that close to selling it all and just giving it away, giving the proceeds away. And just on the inside, I felt so tenderly that the Lord didn't want that. That he wanted me to have it. And I've had other times where, you know, my wife bought me a beautiful watch for an anniversary. And I was walking with someone and the Lord said, I want you to give them that watch. And I mean, without hesitation, took it off and said, hey, I feel like the Lord wants me to give you that. So we need to, like I said, be that free with things. And so, but on the inside, I knew that he wanted me to have that. That there may be a time and a season where I'm to sell it, but he wanted me to have it. And anyway, I just felt so much of his love in that moment. And anyway, a couple of days later, I get a phone call from one of the guys who works here on staff, our youth pastor, the guy I was talking about a couple of Sundays ago. And he said, hey, I have something I want to give you. And I thought, oh, okay, great. And anyway, a couple of days went by and, you know, nothing happened. We were supposed to meet up, but something happened. I couldn't come out to his car. And so I was at work one day and he was too. And he said, hey, come out to the car. I want to give you what we were talking about. And so I walked out to the car and he opens up the back seat and it's some old sports stuff from, I'm a Red Sox fan. You know, Fenway Park, that is going to be heaven. It's a duplicate. I mean, that's, but anyway, the presence of God is tangible there. But anyway, it was all these like tin stuff back from the 1940s just real cool sports memorabilia, just stuff you can hang on your wall. And, you know, I don't know how much value it had to other people, but for me, man, it was just cool stuff that you could hang up. And then he says, well, I have some other stuff. And he starts handing me these different balls that are signed by different people. And, you know, old Red Sox players, and, you know, if I name their names, you probably wouldn't know of them. But then he hands me one, and it's signed by Ted Williams. And basically what had happened was one of his relatives was giving away a whole bunch of his stuff. He was an older man who had been collecting all his life. And, man, I got the ball, and I was like, whoa, a Ted Williams autographed ball. He said, that's not all. And he pulled out this frame. It was framed, and it was a picture of Babe Ruth in a Red Sox uniform. And then right underneath it was an autograph by Babe Ruth. And, you know, if you know sports collect, that's like the holy grail of sports memorabilia. And I'm looking at this, and I'm just in awe. And it wasn't just, you know, someone thinking enough. I never met this man before. I mean, he lives in another part of Mississippi. I don't think he's ever heard me preach. He just felt like he should give me that. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, how much does God love us? That it's not doing anything but making my joy full. I could hang it on a wall, and when I looked at it, it's not giving me anything but joy. But God cares enough about me to care about my joy. And friends, I'm telling you, God does. And just like with my kids, I cared about their joy for Christmas, so I got them stuff that would do nothing but give them joy. Now, do I mind if they don't share with each other? Yeah. If they come and snatch it out of someone's hand because someone else grabbed it, yeah, that's when there's going to be some issues there. And the same is true with God, that when we hold on tight to all of these things, that there are issues there. But friend, I want to encourage you, if you've got desires in your life, that all they do is make you joyful, God wants to bring them into your life. God wants to give you his best. You say, well, not me, I mean, somebody else maybe, but not me. No, you're worthy. Well, you don't know how bad I've sinned. All right, prodigal. Well, you don't know how bad I've missed it. Stop. Stop. You're his child. And Jesus has made you worthy. Jesus has made you worthy. If he spared not his only son, how much more freely will he give you all things? Jesus Christ has made you worthy. So whatever your desires are, and we'll talk about this further next week, whatever your desires are, get in faith for them. Live by faith. Part of living by faith is what you desire, being in faith about. Get in faith about your desire. So how do I get in faith, Pastor? I don't understand. It's as simple as speaking. Speaking, praying. Go to God and ask for him, and then give him thanks every day that those desires are in your life. Every day, just give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Ask him initially, and then just give him thanks. Give him thanks. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wish I had more time with you, but we'll pray, and we'll see you next week. Father, we come today, and we thank you for all that you've blessed us with. God, it's amazing to see that you care about